Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering what happened. From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
I'm Neil Strauss, and we're looking into a girl went missing, a neighbor.
Oh, yeah, my neighbor who went missing.
She is right there.
Do you know Susan and Elaine from Destin Park?
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard anything. She's got back today around noon.
Yeah, this happened. They found her missing, her car abandoned in Malibu on February 2nd.
I remember seeing that on the news. I never related that to a girl across the street.
Yeah.
We'd given our word to Elaine's mom that we'd help find her daughter. But once again, at a dead end with no solid leads, we decided to hit the streets.
Where are we going next?
My wife Ingrid and I drove to Elaine's neighborhood in Glendale and handed out flyers.
But if you could think of anything that you could do, you could just give us a call.
I'll check in tomorrow in 2 days after you talk with your...
Hoping that maybe a neighbor had seen or heard something from Elaine before she disappeared.
Okay, I'm Neil Strauss, and I was investigating a
neighbor who went missing.
Mm-hmm. Sure, let me step outside.
Okay, great, yeah, thank you.
I don't know if anyone else on the street knows.
Only one neighbor we spoke to even knew about Elaine's disappearance. And he also mentioned this.
Her and her mom had some fairly loud fights over the years. Right. Just noticeable as all.
Be loud enough to hear it here?
It would be loud enough if I was working in the backyard. There's something yelling going on. There's some cursing going on.
Right.
And I think we could all gather. Her daughter wasn't a happy person necessarily. Yeah. So there could have been something going on.
Episode 5, Chapter 9, You Make Me Sick.
Hi.
When we finished speaking to the neighbors, we called Susan to stop by and asked her if there was anywhere Elaine frequented where we could also fly her.
I thought you were going to do it in your neighborhood.
Oh, no, your neighborhood.
But you never fly her in the neighborhood?
No.
Because
I'm embarrassed because they've been yelling and screaming a lot of times, and I'm just embarrassed.
Honestly, my thoughts.
Yeah.
It's because she disappeared in Malibu, Calabasas. So I feel like we need to focus and concentrate in that area.
Yeah.
So it didn't dawn me to spread words around here.
We told Susan that one of her neighbors claimed to have heard loud fights between her and Elaine.
I didn't know how to handle her. Honestly, I didn't. At one time, long time ago, she was almost like threatening me, sort of situation where screaming and yelling, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I can't hit her. So I didn't know what to do. She was like on my face, like I was in the corner. I didn't want to call the cops. I've been through abuse with her. I mean, I felt like bullied by a teenager.
Yeah. What was she so upset about?
She just gets upset. She has this anger management problem. I do too.
Ingrid and I left Susan's confused about her reaction to us handing out flyers in her neighborhood and with many questions about Elaine's home life. The answers we were looking for came a few days later when Jaden called with updates on Elaine's data from her phone and laptop.
Once I unlocked a keychain on her computer, we created an image of that drive. When we re-imaged the computer, the MacBook that you guys gave to me, it was a larger drive. And so it allowed more information to flow back to it from the cloud. The text messages just started to populate within the iMessage app. It just started bringing back more stuff.
We now have all of Elaine's messages dating back for years. Except, that is, for the messages from the last day before she went missing.
It wasn't from those last kind of crucial days. Unfortunately, Susan, her mom, typed in too many passcode attempts, and so it's been permanently locked out.
Her phone hadn't backed up during that period, but nonetheless, we had an avalanche of new information. Ingrid and Anne-Marie went to pick up the data from Jaden.
Anne-Marie has the text messages, the cell phone. I have the laptop, so we're both like digging in all this stuff.
Around 9 p.m. that night, while I was home and Mike was playing an Incubus concert, they called and told me I needed to come over to Mike and Anne-Marie's house immediately. They'd found something. I rushed over to find Ingrid and Anne-Marie sitting in the living room, surrounded by computer printouts.
Oh man, you should see these text messages. It's so crazy.
They were on the phone with Mike, who'd just gotten off stage.
Hey man, how was the show?
It was good, and then I walked the stage and read the text messages and almost threw up.
They handed me a printout of a disturbing text exchange.
Neil, this is fucking crazy, dude.
Sending 10 texts like that, man? That's crazy.
Thing, die, you fucking bitch, die. It's hard for me to comprehend that.
The person who texted those messages to Elaine was not the ex she was last seen with, Divine Compare, nor was it the previous ex-boyfriend with the upcoming court date, Lolo. They were from her mother, Susan. And while it's true that mothers and daughters get into arguments, I'd never seen a text fight quite like this.
The crazy thing is that the way that she's handled everything, the way she's been acting, I don't feel like we should be questioning the mom.
Here are the texts that Mike is referring to, read by an actor. These are all Susan's texts, sent one after another to her daughter several months before her disappearance.
Fuck you. Manipulate the situation and not go to Cairo after you get what you want, fucking shithead. You make me sick with my high blood pressure. You make me sick. Die.
Each instance of the word die was sent as a separate individual text to Elaine. The word die in capital letters, followed by 13 exclamation points.
Die, 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 die. I fucking hate the bullying ass of yours, and you make me sick. Leave me alone. Die. You think there's no reason, but I have thoughts and plans behind it all, and you keep messing up. You will not be able to say you are sorry after you kill me.
This is just the first set of texts between Susan and Elaine that Anne-Marie and Ingrid have shown me. But they've been going through Elaine's phone and computer all day and have a lot more information. Quick word from our sponsor, SimpliSafe. As a listener of the show, you obviously know the world can be dangerous and unpredictable at times. And for me personally, when I'm involved in things like this, even before I was, safety, vigilance, and preparation were always important. And that's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. I actually use SimpliSafe for my personal protection. And as you know, with the things I do, whether it's trying to find criminals and murderers who are still out there with To Live and Die in LA and get justice for the victims, or with To Die For, talking to former Russian spies who are spilling state secrets, I'm taking a risk and I feel safer knowing that I do have home security. And yes, this is a sponsorship, but also I really truly do believe that having home security will at the very, very least give you peace of mind and free you from worry. For me personally, I feel safe knowing it's house noises versus an intruder. So whatever you do for your home security, I recommend SimpliSafe. It was named Best Home Security Systems of 2024 by the U.S. News and World Report. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I'd like you to have it too. You can get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/liveLA. That's SimpliSafe.com/liveLA. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I suggest calling Jaden, even though it's late, to share this information with him and see if he knows about any of this.
We found information in the phone and in the computer that were really disturbing. And I think we sent you a picture of the screenshot where Susan literally is telling Elaine to die multiple times. And as we were looking through, we found some other things that we thought were very strange. I screenshotted a few messages that basically have Elaine saying that, like, after I pay you money, I'll have no emotional connection to you. You know, I really dislike you, Mom.
So those text messages, like with the die, 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 those were not there. I mean, I have gone through these text messages. Those messages were definitely not there.
I was looking at the Sadie text messages, and Sadie and her got into a car accident. They didn't get injured. So what happened is Elaine texted Sadie and asked, hey, I have an insurance company harassing me, and they want to know your insurance information. And then Sadie didn't reply. And then Elena was like, don't worry. They told me that it's not going to damage your insurance or your premium is not going to go up. I just need to file a pain and suffering policy.
There's definitely a weird obsession that the mom has with Elaine getting a settlement from the auto insurance. There's one screen grab that I have where the mom in all capital letters says, the more you wait, the more you are not getting your settlement check. It is effing your auto case and you asked for $15 last night. You are not following my directions. I told you to go to the chiropractor first, then eat. I knew you would effing change the plan and manipulate the situation and not go to the chiropractor after you got what you want. You effing S-H-I-T head. You make me sick with my high blood pressure. You make me sick. And Elaine's reaction is like, what the F? Like, why are you starting a fight for no effing reason?
They're using the full word, correct?
They're using the full word. I'm censoring.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I get it. No, that's fine.
They have another fight on another day about going to the chiropractor. And basically, this is when we get that crazy message of die and leave me alone. I effing hate the bullying ASS of yours, and you make me sick. And then die. That many times. I found other evidence, which I took later, snaps, where it shows that Elaine feels like she's committing insurance fraud. And other snaps where she says, like, she doesn't want to go to the chiropractor, which is part of, I guess, the settlement requirement to show that you have pain and suffering. I took a screen grab of a conversation where she's confronting her mom about leaving Sadie's and saying, why are you talking about insurance fraud right in front of Sadie, who's the only other person involved? Don't talk to me until we leave. So here it is, Elaine literally putting the word fraud on what they're doing. And she's like, I don't like doing this. It's fraudulent because Susan is making her go to these chiropractic appointments, and Elaine is obviously not like seriously messed up or hurt. She's going to like concerts every night. She never in her messages to her friends talks about how hurt she is or how she got messed up in the crash, or she never complains once about any real injury. So
right, she's just trying to get the settlement.
Exactly.
Do you know what the settlement amount is for that?
I don't. I can find out. We'll figure out how much the settlement is for. I mean, the one takeaway I had from those messages is it seemed like Elaine was the cooler head. Just in reading a few, as I'm reading along with you guys, she seemed to be the one that was always de-escalating the situation. You know, offering the apology, offering the, you know, I didn't mean to, you know, upset you.
Yeah, Susan never, ever apologizes.
The problem is she's gonna chalk that up to just a tumultuous relationship between a mother and a daughter. So there's got to be more to it, but that certainly, you know, focuses energy. A couple of thoughts that I had thinking back along this process, looking back at the messages that were sent to me the day that you guys arranged that meeting. I didn't know who you guys were. You know, you're just some random people that want to meet at a house. I was highly skeptical of that.
Understandably.
So when I talked to Susan about it, I said, well, what are we going up there to do? And the conversation was all about money. It was all about you guys were hopefully going to give more money, or you were going to increase the reward money, or something about money. That was the focus of getting me to understand your motivation. And so, thinking back on that, it was all about the money. See, all these new text messages are not good.
Mike, Anne-Marie, and Ingrid had visited Susan's house before I became more involved, and she had brought them into Elaine's room. In light of these texts, Mike had some memories of that experience that seemed a little odd or troubling.
It was the very first time we ever went to Elaine's house, and we felt like we were like, it was like, wow, we get to look inside and search for any clue. And so Susan says, yeah, all the things that were in the car are in this closet right here. You can look through them. And we were like looking at shirts and shoes and saying, was this in the car? Was this in the car? Was this in the car?
The reason Mike was asking Susan these questions is because when the police gave the items from Elaine's car to Susan, she washed them and put them away. So we have no idea what was actually in that car.
We're looking through, like, and there's this backpack sitting there hanging in the closet. And right in the front pocket, wasn't even like buried under anything or like, it was just right in the front pocket. I pull out this card and I'm like, like exotic dancing. Like if you want to be an exotic dancer, call this number.
Or it was if you want to be like an erotic model.
Erotic model and dancer. Like yeah. Call this number looking for girls. The second I pull this out of the bag, I remember Susan, out of the corner of my eye, opened a drawer up and pulled this like dominatrix leather, like
she just pulled out like bridal. A like, sexy lingerie.
And she was like, Elaine had been wearing this a lot lately. And like she said that. And she pulled it up. And it was like, the second I find the card, this stuff comes out, and it was like, maybe she's like got sex trafficked or something.
Yeah, I mean that. Well, that's suspicious too. I mean, people miss stuff, and I miss things all the time. But I went through those bags, for one, and two, if those bags had been in the car, they would have been gone through by the crime lab. That would have been something that would have been noted.
Now that I'm like looking back on it, it's just like it was so staged. It was so fucking staged.
Chapter 10, The Scheme. Before bringing any of this information to Elaine's mom or to the police, we wanted to talk to Elaine's friend Sadie again and find out everything we could about this car crash and this possible insurance scheme.
You guys got in a car accident, right?
Uh-huh.
When was that and what was that?
That was in May, I think, May or April. And that was in my car. Mm-hmm. And we were driving home from Malibu. We were, like, going to the beach. Okay. We went to El Matador. And then we went and got food. And we were, like, eating solid. And then we drove home. And a car just, like, started flipping on the freeway and then hit me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was, like, bad. But my car was fine. We weren't really hurt. But then there were, like, people trapped in the car and Elaine, like, grabbed the glass with her hands to try to tear it open to get them out.
She helped them?
Yeah, they were in there screaming, and I'll show you their car. I have a picture. Yeah, she couldn't do it on her own, but she like grabbed the glass with her hand to try to get the people out. Yeah, with her bare hands. Her hands were like all bleeding, and then other people came and helped a lot, and they had to get like on top of the car. But
wow.
Yeah, let me find the picture of the car. It was
wow.
Like, their car was like bad, and we saw gas like leaking out, so we were like scared, and they were screaming in there, and Elaine thought she heard one of them say like, is she dead or something? So Elaine just like went for it and just grabbed it with her hands and started trying to get the glass. Yeah, that happened. Her hands were like all bleeding, but like at the time, like we weren't physically like really hurt.
So you guys weren't really hurt?
No. I mean, her hands were like bleeding, and I guess she was more sore after, but during it, we weren't hurt at all. But I think it was more of an insurance thing for Elaine and her mom.
Do you think this insurance claim was generated by her mom or by Elaine?
It was like both of them. Uh-huh. I know Elaine said her neck hurt, but I don't think it did that bad.
Right. Yeah.
And I know her mom was like, I get half of it. And she was like really excited.
Why do you think the mom felt entitled to half of it?
Elaine didn't really want to talk to me about it. I think because she knew I knew she was doing it for like money reasons, and like I think that's not right, but like okay. I was like, you were hurt but you weren't really hurt, right? And she was like no, like I was hurt, like I had to go to the chiropractor, but I knew she wasn't.
Were you with her? I think she went to like this like kind of possibly semi-crooked chiropractor person.
I wasn't with her,
right?
But she told me about him, that her mom like knew a guy or something,
right. And so it wasn't something she talked about a lot.
No, because she knew I thought that was kind of wrong, I guess, and like,
yeah,
shady, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I just didn't agree with it.
Was she worried about her mom taking her half too of the money?
Well, I know she had like problems with her mom taking her money in the past, like all her acting money. Oh yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know. She just had like money saved up from when she was like behind the scenes or whatever it's called. I forgot what it's called.
Extra.
And I guess her mom spent it all. And it was like Elaine's money, but she was upset about it and then like called her mom out or I don't really remember what it was about, but I just know she would say she spent all her money.
Do you know how much money it was?
It was like 8,000 or something like that, I think she said. They fought about money a lot too. It was just like, mom, can I have some money? She'd say no, Elaine would be like, please, I really needed to get to school or I needed to get here. And her mom would like scream about it and say no. And then like they'd fight about that. Or if Elaine owed her money, they'd fight about that and Elaine didn't pay her back. And it was just like stuff like that. I think money was like tight for her. So I think that was the reason why.
And what do you know about what Susan did for work or anything?
Elaine didn't even really know what she did, but she thought she worked at a law office, but she didn't even know. She was like, my mom won't tell me where she works.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After going through Elaine's texts, Ingrid and Anne-Marie moved on to Elaine's emails, and they found several messages confirming and supporting what Sadie had just said. Perhaps even more extreme than what we'd heard so far. Here's an actress reading one of Elaine's emails to Susan.
I already know you want the checks for my routing info for the insurance check. Once it arrives, it better either be linked directly to my checking account or if it's a physical check, directly in my hands, the full amount. I'm going to call the office and make sure you're not pulling any snake shit either.
One 16570.
Yes.
shocked to discover that Susan and Elaine had been in a dispute over this insurance money immediately before her disappearance. Ingrid called the insurance company, trying to find out what ultimately happened with the claim. This is a reenactment of that call, with an actor playing the part of the insurance agent.
The date of the loss? The date of the accident?
Oh, it's May 1st, 2016.
I'm showing, actually, the adjuster Chris is now handling this claim. What were you looking... Were you looking to get an update on the claim?
Yeah.
Okay, he's currently at lunch right now, Veta. I can give you his direct dial number, 925-331.
Mm-hmm. Ingrid spoke to the person handling the case and found out what had happened. And that was the moment when everything changed for us. We immediately called Jaden.
Hey, Mike.
Okay.
All right, Jaden, we found everything out. We got all the information.
We just called after, I don't know how many tries, maybe like 12 tries. We actually got a hold of the insurance company that was issuing the claim for Elaine's accident.
The claim has been settled.
Turned out that the form had been signed with Elaine's name 6 weeks after she disappeared.
So the check is on its way to Susan, obviously Elaine, but Susan's going to collect it. Jaden, I mean, at least me personally, I was thinking that her disappearance could have coincided with the deliverance of this money.
This podcast is a documentary of our experiences and the information we discovered while investigating this case. It is an ongoing story, and no one should be considered a suspect or as having been involved in any way with Elaine's disappearance. There is a lot of information still to come. The police have not named or identified anyone mentioned on this podcast, including Susan, as a person of interest. Many of these open questions will be asked to Susan, to Divine, and to others. So please make sure you don't miss a single episode. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Elaine Park or any of the parties that have been mentioned here, please email us at livediela@tenderfoot.tv. You can call us anonymously at 213-204-2073. Please also contact us if you have photographs or videos of the spot on the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu where Elaine Park's car was found between January 28, 2017 and February 2nd, 2017. I've also posted several details about the case. You can find these on our social media accounts at Live Die LA Pod. To Live and Die in LA is a production of Tenderfoot TV and Neil Strauss in association with Cadence 13. Executive producers are Neil Strauss, Donald Albright, and Payne Lindsay. Produced and edited by Tristan Bankston. Consulting producer, Alex Vespested. Mixed and mastered by Cooper Skinner and Devin Johnson. Original music and score by Makeup and Vanity Set, with additional musical services by Tristan Bankston. The theme song is Love and War by Flurry. Cover design by Trevor Eiler. Texts, emails, and the insurance call read by Nicole Winters, Abigail Bankston, and Tennille Gusick. And special thanks to Chris Corcoran and the team at Cadence 13, Oren Siegel, Oren Rosenbaum, and Grace Royer at UTA, the Nord Group, Station 16, and Beck Media and Marketing. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Our hope is to expose these stories so that we may learn from them and hold those responsible accountable for their actions. Thank you for your support.